Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Inner Miami Show. My name is Brandon Griffin, and for the first time, I am without my boy Mike, Disneyland Paris Longan. Mike is traveling the world, going to learn about disappointment at Stamford Bridge this week, and traveling through Europe and enjoying himself. So you guys are stuck with just me tonight to recap what I've been calling the dismantling in New Jersey. So, you know, lots of stuff to get into. Rough week, rough weekend, I think, for all of us, right? It was just, rough all around, and we'll get into it. But before we jump into the highlights for the game, or lowlights, if you will, I did want to get into some transfer updates, because we did have some new incomings. First of which is our friend, Yannick Bright. Yannick Bright has signed with the first team. He was our super draft pick this year in 2024. One of them, he signed a first team deal. From what I've been hearing, and I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere else, so it's possible I don't have it right, but, from what I'm hearing, you know, and from what we saw, right? So he was a standout performer in the last couple of games in the preseason. I think a lot of us expected him to get signed much earlier and make an impact on the first team this year. But it just didn't happen, right? But what I'm hearing is one of the big reasons why it didn't happen is because he was on he's an Italian national. So they had to get his green card situation sorted out. I heard he did get his green card, which is a big reason why he was signed to the first team contract. And now he's on the first team. So he does not take up an international spot. I think Mike and I talked about it in one of our first episodes. That was my concern with him. I didn't want to sign a draft pick to take up an international spot when those are pretty valuable, as we've seen them traded within the league. And we needed them all, right? We needed them all for Suarez, for Messi, for all the new additions that we brought in the offseason. So really happy to have signed him. I think he's a great holding midfielder, and learning from Busquets is only going to make him better. The energy that I think he and a guy like Redondo, when they're on the field together, can bring would really be awesome to see. We didn't necessarily see that. We didn't really see that come to fruition in this game, because he did come off the bench towards the end. I think it was a 60th minute sub. So we didn't really get to see him make the impact that we did see in preseason. But I have high hopes for him. I'm glad that we signed him. The other signings are more short term. If for those of you who don't know, unlike other clubs where you can bring people up from your reserve squad and move them within the first team, in MLS, our reserve squad, MLS Next Pro, you have to sign them to short-term loans. And these players are limited to only making so many appearances before you have to sign them to a first team contract. Those of you guys who have been with us a couple of years know, guys like Noah Allen, David Ruiz, Kromoski, these guys have all kind of done that before. So it's not a new thing for Inter Miami. But because we were so depleted this week, because all the guys going out for senior and youth national team duty, we called up forward Leo Afonso, who was also a super draft pick from this year. An interesting story. Was actually a product of the Inter Miami Academy before he went to college. And so we drafted him. I believe he's from the University of Virginia. And we drafted him to get his rights back. So a guy we know pretty well. Then we also saw Pep Casas and Ricardo Montenegro signed to short-term contracts. Yeah, Sean, thanks for joining. Yeah, I agree. Alfonso looked really good. And yeah, he'll probably stay at Inter Miami CF2 for the year, but I don't think it's a bad thing, and I think it's a good thing that we saw the team sign him to a short-term deal, because it shows like kind of the faith they have in him, because most of the players we've seen signed to these short-term deals end up at some point either within the current that season or the next season signing a first team deal. So would definitely love to see him with the first team more. Think he played really well. And then if I remember correctly, I believe he also played the next day with Inter Miami CF too. I have the roster up. I closed it. But yeah, he did play the next day. So good kid. Hopefully we see a lot more of him. And I'd like to see a lot more of the youth. We're going to rely on them. We're going to need other guys from Inter Miami CF2 to step up this year, because we saw, like, this is the problem with having talent in a league that does not respect international windows. We're going to have to rely on the there's my confirmation from Sean. Yeah. So we're going to rely on these guys all year. We're going to need the youth to step up and really do shine when it's their time to go. So seeing guys in the short-term loanies like that sign, it's really awesome. Yeah, he was. Alfonso, I think, is an academy kid. And then, Alfonso had a crazy story. Was in Miami CF 2, went to college at the University of Virginia, and then Inter Miami decided to draft him in the super draft because they liked him so much. Pep's another academy guy, and then Montenegro, I think, was signed in the super draft as well. So good guys, good kids to have on the team, and we definitely want more of that, right? Because we're gonna need them. We're gonna need them. No easy way to jump into it, right? Like, I hate that I don't have Mike here. Mike would be ranting right now about a whole bunch of different things. Or he might be totally happy riding the high of Dos Acero. Who knows? But yeah. Getting to the New York Red Bulls recap. Let's just rip this band-aid off, right, guys? Like, it was a real rainy, cold day in New Jersey. For those of you who don't know, I will be up there tomorrow. I have a flight out to New York, and I get to hang out in the rain and the cold, and I can't wait. I can't wait. Joe, if wishing made it so, you know how I feel about my boy Lewis. But yeah, we should have brought him back. Sean, I guess I probably haven't shared this. So next week Mike will be doing episodes by himself because I will be in the regular Disney. I am not Mr. Fancy Pants and going to Disney. I called it Euro Disney or today and he got mad. I'll be in regular Disney. Love Disney. Big fan. Kids are big fans. The Disney hate or Disney mental illness, as you point out, is alive and well here, and we nurture it. But jumping back into the New York Red Bull recap, came back out in this back five, 5-3-2, which, I didn't really know. Sean, I don't know. I don't know if there's a non-Disney podcast. Us and Battered are pretty inundated. There's so many of us. Like, I know Downtown Peter Brown from Miami Football TV is a Disney guy. You might be in trouble, man. Maybe you got to start your own non-Disney and just hate Disney. But getting back to the Red Bulls game, obviously heavily rotated squad from what we had seen, because just about everybody was out on international duty. CJ Dos Santos got his first start in goal. We had Alba at left back, Allen at left center back, Christoph in the middle, Alves out on the right center back, Robbie Taylor at right back, which surprised me. I didn't expect to see that, especially when we signed Yannick Bright. Bright's a guy who in college played as a right back, but slots more as a holding midfielder in MLS. So I kind of thought when we signed him, I thought we would see him at right back. So seeing Robbie Taylor there was a bit of a surprise. Gressel in the midfield with Busquets and Sunderland. What we had seen previously from Sunderland was encouraging. So I was glad to see him in the starting lineup. And Suarez and Campana up top together is like my dream, those two guys. I was in heaven seeing that lineup, and unfortunately it just didn't work, right? It ended up being a 4-0 loss. Lewis Morgan scored a hat trick, and I will say, my favorite player to ever put on an Inter Miami jersey is Lewis Morgan. I thought it was classy too. The man scored a hat trick and didn't celebrate once against us. Like, for those of you guys who don't know, like a lot of us from like day one have like really great like Lewis Morgan stories. Than from the Inter Miami podcast has some great stories about, he lives in Pennsylvania and he'll come down for games every now and then. And like, he brings his son with him, and like, Lewis has gone out of his way a couple of times to find him, and like found him at away games, and like, you know, talked with him and visited with him, and, you know, just a class act. The guy was, his mom was like so involved in like all the different podcasts that were going on at the time and involved in social media. Don, you have no idea. His mom was so involved in everything and like wrote like a goodbye letter when he got traded. And they even touched on it in the broadcast. Like he said, you know, Chris Henderson came in and was like very honest with him and like told him, we got to generate GAM. And unfortunately, like, you're valuable, man. So is New York a place you want to go? Cause if not, we've got other offers, but New York's the best. So, and they took him, and I'm glad to see him doing well. I hate that it was against us, but him and Van Zier, man, those two guys up top were just destroying us. Toto had probably what I think it was his worst game. Yeah, Sean with another good point here. Alves looked terrible. I think DeSantis got left out to dry a couple of times by the defense. I think he was covering where he thought the defense should be. I don't think he had a great game, obviously, because especially that first Morgan goal in the third minute, I thought he could have stopped that. But, it just kind of shows why he's number two behind Drake. I think DeSantos has the talent. I think he deserves more opportunities. I would like to see him with a stronger back line. Alves and Christoph do not seem to communicate well, in my opinion. I don't think those two work in the back three by themselves. We saw with Freira as the other center back, we've seen some awesome performances with those guys together. And I think maybe he kind of bridges the gap. I don't know if there's a language barrier and that's why the communication isn't there. I don't know, but The back just looked disjointed. Exactly. Like, I don't think DeSantis. I don't think he was great, but I also don't think he was bad. I think he just kind of had a lot more work to do than he probably deserved. The defense was disjointed. We played that high line, and what happened is with that high press that the Red Bulls were hitting us with, like, we didn't have the pace to keep up with Morgan and Van Zier, and Amaya was making some awesome passes. Stroud was involved. I mean, Carmona hit us with the other goal, the non-Lewis Morgan goal. But that Van Zier-Morgan connection was just unreal. And I think Van Zier assisted in all four goals, which was crazy. Like, every time you saw him just kind of make a pass, I just started assuming it towards the end of the game, like it was gonna lead to a goal. I think And I said it before, like the back five works when we have our best players out there. But I don't think, I think we had too many players in positions they weren't comfortable in. And I just, I don't think it worked. And I don't think Tata made the necessary tactical adjustments until it was way too late. Like he did eventually bring in Yannick Bright for Robbie Taylor at the right back position. But at that point, I think we were already down 3-0. You know, the midfield was very lifeless. I was excited for a guy like Sunderland to come in and get a shot and try and inject some pace and some energy into the midfield. And ironically, the only one I saw really working his ass off was Busquets. That was it. Like Gressel made some nice runs, but they didn't lead to anything. Suarez kind of playing deep as more like a false nine, I thought was interesting. In the first half, we had some opportunities to score, but I never felt like we were going to score. I don't think we had any really great chances. Quick look. Yeah. I had, yeah, 2 shots on target, 7 total shots. Our XG was 0.26. Like, you know, we just weren't getting in the right positions. We weren't making things happen. But the sad thing is we were playing Phil Neville, Tata ball. We had like 70% possession. And we couldn't do anything with it. And it just, you know, we got called out. And guys who have listened to this show a lot know, I will say Taylor Twellman is the worst. He is horrible. But his take about gamesmanship with this team during the game is 100% right. Tata even called it out in the after game press conference. The team did not look like they wanted to play, and they didn't look like they wanted to win. They didn't. They came out, they were sluggish, there was no fire. The only guys I saw fired up was Suarez and Busquets and Campana at times, but mostly just those two. Suarez, I think, even got a yellow card in the first 15 minutes because he was so pissed off at some stuff. Like, and he was going after the ref. Like, we just and John, again, you summarize it up perfectly right there. Possession without a purpose. That's what it was. It looked like our players were wet, they were tired, and they didn't want to be there. And for me, like, especially with a heavily rotated squad, a lot of youth, a lot of guys getting a shot, like Sunderland, the academy signings and stuff, like, I expected to see more. We've seen, especially the DC game, we saw we can win without Messi. We still had Suarez. We still had Alba on the field. I expected us to be more competitive than this. And I even thought that we would win like 3-1. I thought we absolutely could. And we just never looked like we even showed up. It was sad. It was really sad to see. And I don't think I've seen that reaction from the team. And Tata called it out. He's like, in the post-game press conference, I think I saw in Michelle Kaufman's article, he's just like, you know, it was scary to see the team not come out and not perform and not want to win. And I agree. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I get it. We were missing a lot of guys. We're missing, you know, Gomez, Redondo, Messi. You're missing, you know, the list goes on, and Freire still is hurt. Calendar is off winning trophies. But like we still should have been more competitive than this. And the thing that kills me, and the thing that I will continue to say, is the lack of tactical adjustments is so frustrating. I don't understand. Like, Tata very clearly before halftime knew his tactics weren't working. And instead of shifting some guys, like, a real easy swap would have been move Gressel to right back and bring Robbie Taylor back into the midfield and let Robbie Taylor try to inject some energy into the midfield and put Gressel out at right back. Yeah, Gressel isn't the best defender, but he's better in the right back or right wing back position than Taylor is. And yeah, well, again, John, you're right. You're absolutely right. Tata doesn't seem to care if Messi's here. And, you know, which is crazy to me because I think Messi covers up Tata's tactical ineptitude. When Messi is in the starting lineup, this team plays completely different. And I think you could run out like a, God, you could run out like a 7-1 or a 7-2 and just have everybody on defense and Messi and Suarez up top, and it would work with Messi on the field, right? And I think, you know, and I said it, like, it works when we have our best starting 11, the back five. It worked. It looked beautiful the one game we saw our best starting 11. But the reality is when we don't have that best 11, we need to make adjustments. Like, in this case, like, a back four with Toto Kristoff playing centrally and maybe playing instead of a high line, playing a little bit further back. And then you have, like, Gressler, Yannick Bright at right back. And then you could put Allen at left back. Maybe let Alba roam or put Alba at left back. Like, that would have been the more sensible thing to me. And that probably would have helped stop that attack. Because let's say you put Gressel at right back. You could do a double pivot and bring in Bright and Busquets together. And then that's going to help, like, kind of take some of the pressure off the center backs of trying to stop Morgan and Van Zier. And we didn't see any of those adjustments. I just felt like it was such an easy thing to do and just say, this isn't working, let's do that. Because if we started winning the ball back in those counterattacks, maybe we could have done something. We probably wouldn't have scored anything because we just didn't have anybody going and making the runs. We had a couple of nice, like, sequences where Campana was coming back to get the ball. Suarez was coming back to get to the ball. But like Sean was saying in chat, like, the problem is both of them were coming back to get the ball. It was almost like watching Higuain, where neither one of them wanted to be in the box, wanted to be the target guy, right? They just wanted to kind of keep going back and getting the ball. And, like, that's great, but one of you has to have that killer instinct. And we know they both are capable of it, but they just didn't play like that. And it just kind of factored into the game, lack of gamesmanship. Like, we just looked like shit. Like, I don't know any other way to put it. We just looked bad. And then, you know, obviously we've talked about a final result was 4-0. Why on earth Inter Miami social media decided to put Toto dribbling the ball as our picture for the game, I don't know, because he probably had, I think he probably had the worst day out of anybody. You know, maybe De Santos, only because he let in 4 goals, and I know he probably doesn't feel great about that, even though they probably weren't all his fault. And then, you know, I had to throw it in there with Lewis Morgan celebrating the win. Kid deserved it. Him and Van Zier, those guys are going to be deadly. And I can't wait to see what happens with them. Just as a fan of MLS, once Forsberg is back, seeing him and getting settled into that lineup and really being able to connect with those guys is going to be dangerous. And that's a team we're going to have to look out for, because that high attack, that high press, always is always going to give Tata trouble. We're going to see this going back. Sean, it's possible, man. It is. I wouldn't write off Suarez for that still. I think he's still got a shot at it, but if Morgan can torch other teams like he torched us, it's possible. I could definitely see that. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's enough on the Red Bull thing. I'm depressing myself, and I'm sure I'm depressing you guys who are either watching now or going to be listening later. I can't do it. Oh, man. You know, but some scenes, some good news, right? So our boy, Drake Callender, man, he's out there winning trophies, beating Mexico, Dos Acero. Him with the goalkeepers, celebrating with my boy Weston McKennie in the background. And, man, that was a great game. You know, I will comment. I don't understand. Like, I won't break down the game or anything like that here, but man, I don't understand, like, why do the Mexico fans feel like it's okay to, like, throw shit at players and start all these terrible chants that end up getting games delayed, and it's just, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Yeah, man, that banger by Tyler Adams. Tyler Adams is my favorite person on the U.S. men's national team. He's so good, and I love everything he does. Like, whether he's playing, like, that weird, like, roaming right back that Greg Berhalter loves, or whether he's playing the holding midfielder role. Like, anybody who's followed his career and seen him get, like, serenaded by Leeds United fans when he was playing there, and then the support and welcoming he's had at Bournemouth. It's just awesome. It's great to see an American player get that kind of reception in England. Yeah, man, it's just, it's good to see Tyler back on the field. He's been off for over a year, and this was his first start in over a year for club or country. So it was great to see him score that. Great game. All around, much improved game over the Jamaica game. You guys know, I hate Greg Berhalter. I think I hate him more than Tata. I think he's the absolute worst coach I've ever seen in my life. And how he's still with the U.S. men's national team, I have no clue. But I got to give it up. He coached a team to win and win the Nations League. So, you know, good for him. Some great comments from the team supporting him. And I guess, you know, I'll draw back, I guess, to the Marlins. Like, I think a coach having players bought in and, you know, players that believe in the system that they put in, like Skip Schumacher's done with the Marlins, I guess that makes a difference. And we're seeing that. And yeah, John, I agree. He only has that job because of his brother, because Greg Berhalter's never won anywhere except the U.S. men's national team. I do not count the Nations League trophy among, like, the most coveted in the world. I think it's kind of like a made-up money grab. But, you know, as a U.S. soccer fan, like, I'll take the win. I'll celebrate the trophy. But, yeah, no, Greg only has that job because of his brother. You know, he left Columbus, and then they won the championship the next year. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Bad coach. You get fired from the Swedish League 2. You ain't got it, man. You ain't got it. But it was good to see Drake in some of the post-game pictures celebrating the win. Because I think as an organization, like, you always want your players to be in an opportunity to win trophies, whether it's with you or on international duty, or even like some bigger clubs on loan. Like, you want them to be part of the part of a winning culture, and you want them to participate in things like that and know what it means to win things. Yeah, absolutely, Sean. I would argue, though, that the 97 World Series team was actually, like, a really good and really talented team. But most of the pieces on that team were not appreciated until, like, they went elsewhere. Like, Edgar Renteria, Craig Counsell, Chef, like those guys, they were still, like, in their coming out party. And then when they went elsewhere, like, they blew up into superstars. But yeah. No, coaching like Jack McKeon and Jim Leland are probably two of the best managers. And if you watch Battered Marlins, you'll hear me talk about them, and you'll know Spazzy. Like, Spazzy would die for either one of those two. And so would all of us, right? Like, those two managers are the best. But if you see, like, you know, getting off on a bit of a tangent, but, like, there was a big interview with Jazz Chisholm this year. Last week, we covered on Battered Marlins. And like he spoke about the impact that like Skip Schumacher has had on that locker room and how he's turned it from like a toxic work environment to like a place these guys want to be. And like these guys are happy and bought in and stuff like that. And things like that make me optimistic for the season. But you don't hear that with Inter Miami. You hear the bad. You never hear that the manager's making a difference. So that worries me a bit. 100%, Sean. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Leland there. Like, you know, Leland smoking his cigarettes, wearing his teal starter jacket in that dugout definitely was a big part in 97. And Jack McKeon was a huge part of 03. Jack McKeon got those young guys to believe in themselves and believe in each other. And that was a special team as well. And kind of very similar, right, to 97. Like superstars that weren't necessarily superstars then, like, you know, you had Miggy and Dontrell Willis and Josh Beckett and Brad Penny and Carl Pavano on those teams. It was a bunch of babies with Grandpa. I don't know who was Grandpa more, Jack McKeon or Jeff Conine. He was pretty, that was like his last season or last couple of seasons he was there. But definitely a great analogy. And that's kind of a similar parallel to Inter Miami now, right? I guess Messi's grandpa, Suarez's grandpa too, and everybody else is just the babies hanging out with them, right? I'm a firm believer in a great coach makes a difference, and a great coach, I rail about tactics, but a great coach doesn't always have to be the best tactician, right? The best coach knows how to get the most out of their players. And maybe Greg knows how to do that. I don't think so. But maybe he does. And I know Tata doesn't, so I'm not going to talk about that. But like guys like, you know, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, like, yeah, those guys are good with tactics, but I think they're better at man management. And I think they're better at connecting with players and getting the best out of them. I think both managers approach things differently. Pep's more of a, like a quiet, like more reserved guy when it comes to talking about his players. But you have a guy like Jurgen Klopp who's very emotional, hugging his players like all over the place. And I think when you know how to connect with players, you know how to put them in positions to succeed, you know how to motivate them. I think that's what makes the difference. And having a manager or a coach or whatever that can do that can make a difference. And I think that's, I feel like we might have had that with Phil a little bit, but we'll save that for when Mike's back. I know he loves to talk about Phil Neville. But let's go ahead and then we'll jump into our preview for New York City FC. Their last game was against FC Cincinnati. They lost 1-0. They did have several of their starters, particularly in the attack, out on international duty. So it was a rotated squad. So the scoreline probably wasn't quite as fair as it should have been to them. But NYCFC is off to a rough start so far for the season. They're very slow in their offensive. They're very slow out with their offense. They're not being as clinical or as punishing as they have been last year, the year before. They really they're just having a slow start, but the talent is there. Like, these guys are going to click eventually. They're going to start playing strong together. They're just off to a slow start. I think this is a good time for us to see them. They've only won one game so far this year. That was against Toronto, 2-1 win at Yankee Stadium. We're playing them at home. We don't know. We should be getting like all our international players back here this week. We have not heard anything about Messi. We don't know if he's going to be playing. Sean, you're absolutely right. He doesn't do any of that. Yeah, I agree, Joe. I think Yedlin, not just like we got rid of him before we had a replacement, but yeah, he was like a mentor in that locker room. And I thought, you know, I thought he brought a lot to the table, and we definitely missed that. But with NYCFC, these guys are they're a strong team. I think their record is not fair to them, because I think they should be doing a lot better than what they're doing. They just, in the last game, they didn't really, they kind of looked like us, right? Like their offensive players were out there, but they weren't like making plays. They weren't making quality shots or creating quality chances. Santiago Rodriguez, who for them has been like a playmaker, more like a number 10. He was playing as like a striker over the weekend, and he was like out of his position. He was out of his comfort zone. You know, for them to be successful, he's their engine. Like he's the one that's going, he's the one that's driving the bus. He's passing the ball, he's creating plays, and for them to be successful, they need him to pass the ball. If we can stop him, I love our chances in this game. I love it even more because we're going to have like probably pretty close to full squad. I'd be surprised if we see Messi, only because the following Wednesday we've got Leagues Cup. So maybe we see Messi come off the bench. That's entirely possible. Give him 30 minutes off the bench in this game to make the difference. But I would expect to see him probably come back if he's able to start for this CCC match against Monterrey at home. But, you know, we should have Suarez. We've got a full week of rest. Most of the international matches wrapped up yesterday or day before. I don't think anybody really has anything going on after that. So, you know, my opinion, I think we're going to go with a full squad. When we have the full squad, regardless of the lineup or the tactics, I think we could beat anybody on any day. But I can't absolutely see us struggling with this game, because New York City was one of the better teams in the East last year. They returned most of their starters. The people that they've lost on the team, they upgraded with. They brought in even better players. Coaching, their coach is kind of on the hot seat a little bit. You know, with the slow start, you know, there's already some grumblings like maybe he's not the right guy. Maybe we got to go out and find somebody else. But a coach like that is always dangerous to be on the hot seat. But us playing at home with a pretty close to full squad, I'm going to guess we probably win this one, probably 2-1. I could even see a 1-1 draw, just because, I don't know, man, that seeing a team come out with no fire and just kind of holding the ball, not really doing anything with it, dominating possession, but not really passing in the final third, like that worries me. And I'm hoping it was just a cold, rainy night in New Jersey, and they decided like, hey, it wasn't their day. And as long as it doesn't continue past this game, okay, we can move past it. We'll be all right. But when you see that kind of attitude, for me, it's worrying. I don't know that that's something that's not festering in the locker room. Like, I feel like it's highly possible that these players just, I don't know. Maybe they're overconfident. Maybe, I don't know. Again, I'm hoping it was just a cold, rainy day in New Jersey, because I would not have wanted to play in that game. I don't think anybody else on the team wanted to play in that game. And the two teams didn't even want to play in that game because they asked for a postponement because they were both missing so many international players. But yeah, I'm thinking a 2-1 win against NYCFC, and let's get things rolling back in the right direction. Let's start picking up some momentum going into CCC, because Monterrey at home, we're going to have to win that. We're going to have to win that and put some goals in the back of the net. because Monterey away is going to be one hell of a game, and really hard for us to win. Yeah. Yeah, the weather should be nice. It should be great. I won't be there again because I'll be in Disney. I'll be in New York this week, leaving tomorrow. But yeah, weather should be nice. I agree, Joe. 2-1 win is what I'm feeling. I was a little overconfident with the 3-1 prediction for the Red Bull game. But yeah, 2-1 win. We should be able to handle, take care of business against NYCFC. And this will be a good test, right? It's one of the better teams in the East. A team most people, despite the slow start, pick to make the playoffs. So we'll see. But 2-1 feels about right, in my estimate. But yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I'll open it up if anybody has any questions. I know we got a couple of viewers in there. Ooh. Okay. 1-0 win. Tata doesn't try again. We win. Yeah. Tata keeps not trying. We'll be okay. He just got to get out of his own way. I don't know, man. Can you imagine what this team would do with like a coach that could actually like put his players in the right positions, do the right things? Like, this team would we'd be lethal, and sometimes it just looks so toothless. It's disheartening. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, throw them in chat while you guys are thinking of those, or if you don't think of them, that's cool too. Did want to throw out there, in the spirit of supporting soccer in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale United FC, the USL Super League, which is the USL equivalent of NWSL, Women's League, they're starting up in August. If you're not following them on social media, you should be. They've got deposits open now for season ticket holders. It's $25 for a seat, regardless of where you pick. I've already put down my deposit for a couple seats. I'll be out there most games. They're building this thing from scratch. It's cool. If you were paying attention when they sent it out, they did send out a survey asking for feedback, like on the crest and things like that. They're starting to pick up their social medias, starting to ramp up. I've seen some really cool initiatives there, and just, you know, check them out. I think it's important to have soccer, regardless of the league, in South Florida. And as a father who has a daughter who wants her to grow up and be and do whatever she wants to do, I think it's important to have great like role models, whether it be athletes or scientists or whatever it may be. And having a pro women's soccer team in our backyard is great. So, you know, I want to go take my daughter, take my son, and let them see women's soccer. You know, I was able to take them to the U.S. women's national team match when they were down here against China. We did go for a little bit. We weren't there long, because my kids are 4 and 2. So that's tons of fun at a soccer game, but I like to expose them to things like that. They had a great time. So yeah, just, you know, support wherever you can. If you're down in Miami, Miami FC is rolling. Season's back up again. They're playing Charleston Battery this weekend, which Charleston Battery is kind of like one of my, I don't know why. I think it's probably because of the Carolina Challenge Cup, but I just kind of started following them. Really cool. Because we aren't playing in the U.S. Open Cup, I think it's even more important now than ever to support lower league soccer in the country. It can't just be about the top tier. The lower teams give lots of athletes opportunities. They bring communities together. They bring soccer to areas that can support MLS clubs. So get out there and support them. Miami FC, you can go out there. We looked into it. They're VIP tickets where you sit on the field, like right next to the bench. You can basically talk to the players or the coaches. You're so close. It's covered with a tent. It's $50 a ticket. you could take the whole family out there and just sit in the bleachers for I don't know. I think it was like $20 a ticket if you buy it through them. Like, contact their reps, take the family out, go see soccer, support them. Because without lower league soccer in this country, a lot of guys don't get that opportunity. Oh, pro reg. Sean, I would love it. As a fan of, you know, EPL and EFL football, I would love to see pro rel in this country. Do I think it will happen? No. The reason being is the American ownership model is not conducive to pro rel. You're not going to have guys like when the Moss brothers sell this team right before Messi leaves, after we get Miami Freedom Park, they're going to sell this team for like $1 billion plus, $1.2-1.3 billion. And no owner wants to spend that money and then have to worry about if we have one bad season and we get relegated, the value of this club is going to plummet. And when you look at like most MLS teams cost way more to buy than like an EPL team or like a Ligue 1 team or, you know, La Liga team, Serie A. Like, it costs more to buy an MLS team because with MLS, their pricing model, they're guaranteeing their owners a return on investment. They're coming up with Leagues Cup. All that money, all that TV revenue, all that advertising, that's going into the owners' pockets. The owners don't have to sell out like 30,000, 100,000 person stadium every weekend to make money in the U.S. Like, they just open the doors and whoever comes in at the prices they set. We had this discussion when we were talking about, and this was before Mike and I started the podcast, but we were very vocal on Twitter and social media about the raising of the price. Like, our tickets for any sport in this country is more expensive than season tickets to go and to see Liverpool. I could, for what I pay for my Inter Miami seats, I have two tickets now in the supporter section. I could probably get probably two tickets, but in a better spot in Liverpool and go to every Liverpool game. But it's all about money in the U.S. where at least there's some romance in other parts of the world. So as much as I'd love to see pro rel, I don't think we're going to see it with MLS. I do think we will see it within USL. USL has already said openly that they're trying to do that and that that they are very, very committed to coming up with some sort of pro rel system for all levels of the USL, whether it be USL 1, 2, or I think there's, God, I forget what the top tier is. Yeah, but that's the only thing I see as far as pro rel in our future would be that. It would be cool. I think another good idea would be like if we saw like NWSL and USL Super League kind of do something where there was pro rel there, so you have like two first division teams commit or leagues committing to doing that, because USL Super League is growing really fast. Fort Lauderdale City is not the only, or Fort Lauderdale United is not the only one that they're adding. They're adding quite a few other teams. It would be cool. Yeah. First year was the only year that was in price with European teams. And then they jacked up the price. And, you know, we're getting to see Messi every day, and that's the cost of bringing Messi in. And we all kind of knew that. And, you know, we've gotten into it 100 times on here, but I'll say it again. I don't mind paying the price, but if you're going to make me pay more, I think I deserve to be treated better as a season ticket holder. And so I think that means you have to send me a real gift. You don't have, I am not going to go to the stadium and pick up a box with a card with my membership number on it. And that's my season ticket holder gift. I'm not cool with that anymore. I'm not okay with not having first right of refusal for my own seats for games. And I'm not cool with you promising to do different events in the preseason and then never doing them. Yeah. If you want to jack up prices, that's fine. But there's a level of service that needs to come with those prices. And there are people that are paying a whole lot more for tickets than I am that deserve to be treated the same way. And they're not. But, you know, we've had that debate, and I won't get into that again tonight. But, yeah. Real quick before we wrap up, I did want to shout out. Yeah, here it is. So you will notice I've changed my background. I've got these really cool prints. I've got another one I have to hang here. This guy on Twitter I found, Maddie723 on Twitter. Follow him. Find him. He's got these. He draws them. He goes through the process that he makes them. He draws them on his tablet. He's in the UK. If you're a fan of any other team you can possibly imagine, he's got stuff for you. He's got Liverpool stuff. He's got every EFL team. He's got like old school national team stuff that he draws, and really cool stuff. So check him out. I'm going to get this third one hung up back here and kind of redo my background. So when I come back in 2 weeks, it'll be different. But yeah, I did want to shout him out again, Maddie723 on Twitter. Invite him in his shop. He has a lot of really cool stuff. If you're fans of Ted Lasso, a certain person, co-host of the Inner Miami show, who will remain nameless, asked me to order him a Ted Lasso drawing. So I have that for him too. And so a lot of cool stuff. So anytime I find cool stuff, I got to throw it out there. The Thor Hammer celebration. He's got the Wakanda Forever one that he did too, drawn up. So really cool. Check him out. I like supporting locals, or not local, but I like supporting small artists and things like that. When I found it, I was like, man, I'm all on it. He prints it to order. I ordered these things like a week ago, and from the UK, he printed them and mailed them. And even threw one in. He put on the website the day after I ordered those two in the back. And he's like, oh man, I knew you would want this, so I just threw it in. So cool, dude. Good customer service, good person to deal with. So did want to throw that out there. He has no clue what the Inner Miami show is, I guarantee you, but no sponsorship here. Just figured I'd pass that along because they are cool prints and they come in every size you can imagine. So, check that out if you're interested. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to the end. And listening to me talk on and on and on for 50 minutes. I didn't think we would go this long. I thought it'd be 20 minutes and out. But yeah, please like and subscribe on YouTube. You know, rate us wherever you're listening. Give us the thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe and click the bell, the notification bell. That's going to be a important one. Well, hey. He'll love it, man. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. Thanks, Joe. But yeah, and as Joe mentioned with the shorts, like hit the notification bell because, you know, we've been putting out a ton of content, a lot of shorts we've been sending out. Every day we try to throw out like 3 or 4 from this show. So if it's a week where you're like, oh man, I can't listen to the whole hour of Mike railing on about why capris are so cool. Listen to the shorts. We have them out there for you. Little 1 minute clips of the show so you can digest it in your own time. Joker's been helping us out with those and doing a fantastic job. They're really well done, and he captures us at some of our best and worst moments, which just makes for great content for you guys. But yeah, thank you guys again. I will not be with you next week. Mike will be back at some point. I don't know when he comes back, but I'm going to guess we will drop an episode before the Monterey game. We will have one before then. If I have to jump on while I'm on vacation, I'll do it. I'll do it. But if not, I will see you guys in a week or so. Hopefully when I come back, we're talking about a couple of really strong wins and getting ready for to finish out the first quarter of the year in a much better place than where we started or where we are today after this 4-0 loss. But yeah, thanks guys. I appreciate it. And I hope you guys all have a great evening.